السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers in Islam, over the past few weeks we have been discussing a hadith of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported by many sahaba, in which weak people like us, who are always complaining that it is very difficult to do optional ibadat, to make tahajjud, to make ishraq, to make chasht, to make awwabin, or to go for jihad, or to do other things which fall under optional ibadat. So Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being rahmatul lil alameen, he has also taken into consideration weak ummatis like ourselves. Of course, this does not mean that we all must take this hadith to mean that we must all relax and do nothing. The love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, once it comes into the heart, it will not allow the person to rest. Once the love of a person comes into the heart, or once the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala comes into a person's heart, then that love of Allah ta'ala will not allow that person to rest. It will make him restless for tahajjud, for ishraq, and for charities, and for so many other things, for the seeking of knowledge, and for the going of jihad, and everything. But before that love of Allah ta'ala comes, sometimes we take it for granted that because we cannot do those optional ibadat, therefore we have the license to do whatever we wish. So in this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we are told that those people who, due to laziness, sickness, weakness, old age, or whatever it may be, they cannot make tahajjud salat, then at least during the day do not commit any sins. Then you will be equated with those people who have been making tahajjud salat. And I mentioned this in an explanation, that those who are making tahajjud also and staying away from sins, then of course their stages will be much, much higher. But at least for those people who are unable to make tahajjud, then they should not think that because we cannot make tahajjud, so we cannot get those rewards that the people of tahajjud get. Stay away from sins, because this is such an important thing in the life of a Muslim. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi is to say that Musalman aur guna, ye samajh mein baat aati nahi hai. That means a Muslim and then committing sins, this is something we cannot understand. Yes, guna ho jata hai. It can take place. Accidental sins can take place. Accidents can take place. A person is driving very, very carefully. He is looking at the road. His car is in good condition. Everything is good. But suddenly an accident takes place. Somebody hits him from the back. Or somebody comes and gives him a head-on smash. So accidents can take place. And if the accident takes place, then send the car to the panel beaters and get it beaten up. But just because there is a panel beater next door, we do not keep on smashing our cars. And just because we have got the ointment for burns in our cabinet, we do not keep putting our hand into the fire. So those people who are making tahajjud upon tahajjud, ishraq upon ishraq, and hajj upon hajj, and umrah upon umrah, but they do not want to give up sins even while they are in Makkah Sharif or Madinah Sharif, then these people cannot consider themselves to be walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. At the most, they will get some reward and sawab for that particular ibadat that they have made, but they will not get that close contact and marifat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They will not get that qurb of Allah Ta'ala, that muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They will not get that crown of wilayat on their heads, because they do not want to give up sins. And this is our weakness, that dini work is taking place, so many conferences, seminars, and so much of dini work and activities. Everybody wants to engage himself in the work of deen, alhamdulillah, which is an excellent thing and we should increase it. But we do not want to give up the sins of our lives. Zina is continuing with those dini activities. Fraud is continuing with those dini activities. Cheating and stealing and deceit and all kinds of lies are continuing with all those dini activities. Then what is the benefit of those dini activities? Therefore we are told that even if you cannot get up for tahajjud, you will not be questioned on the day of judgment why you didn't make tahajjud. But if you do not give up sins in your lives, then after that you will definitely be questioned. So to get Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qurb, or to be equated with those people who are making tahajjud and they are staying away from sins too, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes it easy for weak ones like us, that stay away from haram, stay away from haram. I've been repeatedly emphasizing this theme because there is no other way out. If we want peace of mind, if we want sukoon and chain, if we want comfort, if we want tranquility in our hearts, then there is no way out but to follow Allah and His Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's ahkam. There is no question of pleasing man and pleasing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yes, in accordance or within the framework of Sharia, if a person is pleasing man, and that too with the niyat of pleasing Allah ta'ala. For example, the person is pleasing his parents, or he is pleasing his children, he is pleasing his wife, he is pleasing his neighbors, he is pleasing any other person in the community, and the niyat is that he wants to put happiness into the heart of that Muslim, then that kind of pleasure that he is putting into the heart of the human being is actually for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If it is within the parameters of Sharia, then the person will get those rewards. But otherwise, if we think that if there are demands on two sides, one is the demand of Sharia and the other side is the demand of our wives, our children, our families, our friends, our society, then we say that we will please both. So when we try to please both, we will please no one. We will please no one. So this giving up of sins, there is no other way out besides that. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown into the fire. What a huge fire. So Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi says that what extinguished that fire? What caused it to extinguish that fire? He said it was the noor of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The noor of Allah ta'ala which he had in his heart. Because he was thrown into that fire with that noor of Allah which was in his heart. It was actually that noor which extinguished that fire. Because noor is cold and fire is hot. So in sins, there is this sifat, this quality that it is hot. It heats up the person's head and brains and life. It makes the person restless, full of anxiety and full of worries. So it was that noor of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam which extinguished that fire, such a huge fire. So Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi says, Nare shahwat che kushad. That this nare shahwat that you have got in your heart, this fire of shahwat, of passions which you have got in your heart, the passion for women, the passion for casinos, the passion for drugs, the passion for drink, the passion for wine, the passion for all haram intoxicants, all these haram passions that you have got, it is fire. And what will extinguish this fire? It will be only the noor of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that can extinguish this fire in your hearts. Noor-e-Khuda. It's only Noor-e-Khuda that can extinguish this fire, and nothing else, he say, will extinguish this fire. So if you want a coolness within the heart, then first you will have to extinguish this fire of passions. And I'm not talking about passions which are halal and permissible. Passions which are haram, which are eating up our hearts and our lives. Until we don't extinguish those passions with the noor of Allah Ta'ala. And how will that noor of Allah Ta'ala come? That noor of Allah will only come with ibadat, with zikr, with tilawat, with obedience to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Those things will then bring the noor into the heart. And when the noor will come into the heart, then the nar of passions will disappear. Then it will become easy for that person. He can be in the bazaars, he can be in the at the airport, he can be in the aeroplane with all the most beautiful hostesses on board, but his eyes will not fall on them. An accidental sight, it will make him lower his gaze, because now he has got the noor of Khuda in his heart. So it will extinguish that passion inside his heart. But if he hasn't got that noor of Khuda in his heart, because with all his little ibadat that he was doing, but as you have heard that example many times, that in our cars, if we travel now on this hot day, and we leave the windows a little open on all sides and we put the air conditioner on, then even if that air conditioner is the most expensive one, it has been purchased from Germany or Japan or anywhere else, but it is the most expensive one on the market, but that air conditioner will not cool our car. Our passengers will keep complaining that the car is not getting cool. Why? Because we have kept the windows open. Until we don't shut those windows, our cars will not get cool. So until we don't shut our eyes from haram, we don't shut our ears from haram, we don't shut our tongues from haram, we don't shut our hearts and minds from haram, until then the heart will never receive coolness. Try everything that you want, even if it is deen work. Make zikr as much as you want in the masjid and go out as much as you want in deeni activities. But if we are not going to extinguish, or this fire of passions will never extinguish until we have not shut our eyes from haram, our ears from haram, our tongues from haram, our hands from haram, our feet from haram, our heart and mind from haram. And this is where the real test comes. Zakhme hasrat hazar khaye hain, tab kahi ja ke unko paaye hain. Zakhme hasrat hazar khaye hain, tab kahi ja ke unko paaye hain. In haseenon se dil ko bachane mein, maine gham bhi bahut uthaye hain. In haseenon se dil ko bachane mein, maine gham bhi bahut uthaye hain. We will have to take that pain on our hearts. How long are we going to listen about it? We will have to take it. There is no other way. In haseenon se gham dil ko bachane mein, Hazrat says, maine gham bhi bahut uthaye hain. It's not that they have become stones. They have got no eyes, they've got no ears, they've got no tongue, they've got no heart and mind. In fact, the Ahlullah, because of their ishq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what they know about love, we do not know. But their love is directed towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it's not that these haseenas do not attract them. They have also got a heart. They are human beings, just like us. And they've also got desires. But in restraining themselves from these evil desires, they say, first we took a lot of pain on our heart. In haseeno se dil ko bachane mein humne gham bhi bahut uthaye hain. First we had to take a lot of pain on our heart to restrain ourselves from haram sight, from haram hearing, from haram speech, from haram business, from haram everything. There was a lot of temptation that came upon them also. But when they restrained themselves and they continued restraining themselves, then he says, zakhme hasrat hazar khaye hain, tab kahin ja ke unko paaye hain. Allah Ta'ala was not just obtained easily. There had to be some zakhme hasrat on the heart. There were many things that had to be given up. Then Allah Ta'ala came into that heart. And when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes half of our life sometimes goes away in restraining our sights. No doubt, if a very pretty young woman comes in front of us and she is scantily dressed or semi-naked or even naked, then at that time there is a great pain on the heart to restrain the sight. It is as if our life is going in restraining our sight. But when Allah Ta'ala takes away half our life, then He will give us 100 lives in our heart. Because that Allah we are sacrificing for His will, for His pleasure, then when He takes away something from us, He is not going to deprive us. Then what do the kings know, what do the people of Allah know, have in their hearts? So when Allah Ta'ala takes away half our life, then He gives us 100 lives. And Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that when Allah Ta'ala takes one flower from you, He will give you a whole garden of flowers in return. Brothers, what are we chasing after haram? When Allah Ta'ala will take away one flower, we just have to give one flower to Allah, and Allah Ta'ala will give us a garden of flowers. Mana ke meer gulshan e jannat to dur hai, arif hai magar dil mein khaliq e jannat liye hue. Meer jannat may be far away, but the arifin of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they have got jannat in their hearts. What you are talking about gardens and gardens all the time. So this haram pleasure, it will not bring peace and happiness in our lives. Every person seems to be complaining of restlessness and uneasiness. So it is not going to come by engaging in more and more haram. So many people, when they are depressed, they buy extra movies. Watch a few extra movies for the removal of depression. When a person is engaged in some sin, then he says, let me commit one time sin properly, then I will give it up. The person has got a strong desire to meet that woman again and have that illicit relationship. He says, one more time, if I just have to go and enjoy myself, after that I will make tawbah from the sins. But believe me that it is not going to stop like that. Again, Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi, that king of examples, he says that The waters of the ocean will not quench your thirst. If you are thirsty and you think that water of the ocean will quench your thirst, even if you have to drink the whole ocean, seven oceans of water, it is not going to quench your thirst. For quenching your thirst, you will have to have a tumbler full of clean, pure, fresh water. It will quench your thirst. That will increase your thirst. The more you drink, the more it will increase your thirst. The more sins you commit, the more it will increase your thirst for sins. One sin will lead on to the other one to the next one, and then a stage will be reached when the heart becomes so dark, that sins mean nothing to that person. Then he will make bakwas of all kind. Then his tongue will lash out statements of all kinds of haram, and so much so that he will speak against Islam, against the Quran, against Sharia, and against Deen, and against the Ahlullah, and against everybody else, because the heart becomes completely dark after that. It is again that example coming to my mind, that when a person has got a clean white kurta or shirt, then if you put one drop of ink on that kurta or shirt, from a distance also you can pick it up that there's a black spot on that kurta. Like now we have worn on this Friday clean white kurtas and we have come. So even if there is one spot of black ink on my kurta, I can spot it from here that there is a black dot there. But if a person is working in a garage and he has got a dirty black overall, and it is filled with grease. Now on that overall, which is black, and it is also full of grease, if a person has to pour a whole bottle of ink also, the person will not pick it up. He will not find out that there is a whole bottle of ink there. This is the reason why lots of people say that we are committing a lot of sins, but we are enjoying ourselves. We are enjoying ourselves. We don't find any restlessness. Well, at that moment you don't find restlessness, but afterwards find out, or you know yourselves what kind of restlessness we suffer inside. So when the heart becomes pitch black and there's no light left inside there, then sins become, a person becomes comfortable with sins. And that is the danger sign. When the person becomes comfortable with sins, then that is the danger line. That this person now could very easily go across onto the other side. He could very easily make statements which will be of kufr and shirk. That is the danger line. When the person is comfortable with sins, when the person gets happy, feels happy after committing sin, then we must understand that this person has gone too far. But if the person becomes restless after committing a sin, he realizes he has made a mistake, he feels ashamed of what he has done, he turns towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and makes plenty of tawbah. And if it's the rights of people, then he makes sure that he makes every effort to go and fulfill those rights. If he has deceived anybody when he sold a car, for example, and the mileage on that was shown as 20,000 or 30,000, whereas in reality that car had a mileage of 120,000. So this is a deception. Now this tawbah of that person, if he makes hajj upon hajj, will not be accepted. He will have to look for that customer and that client and tell him, I'm very sorry, this is what happened, take another 10,000 rands from me. If he's not going to do that, for a little while it will seem as if he is growing and growing. Or in the same way, in all other kinds of deception that the person takes, then he will have to make sure that he returns it. If the person has taken properties that were belonging to widows and orphans, but because the children were small, or because those widows did not have any voice, so therefore he transferred these properties onto his name, and it was not rightfully belonging to him, then he will have to ask them for forgiveness. Otherwise we will go on making tawbah in the masjid, and go on making tawbah by the Baytullah, and go on making tawbah at the Rosa of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and nothing will happen. So we think that we have deceived that person. But when the body blows like that, it is like a person whose body is filling up with pus. When the person's wealth is growing with haram, then we must believe that it is pus that is blowing up his body. And one day it will burst. One day there will be an explosion. One day there will be an eruption. We have seen many, many empires collapsing. What is a little wealth? So who are we deceiving? What will our Hajj and Umrahs do? What will our Ibadat, Zikr and Tilawat do? What will our Dini activities do? If we are not prepared to give up the haram of our lives, brothers, you may think that I am addressing you in such high tone, but when I am addressing you, I am addressing myself too, so that I can stay careful too on the streets and everywhere else. But when you talk to others, then at least it reminds you first. And why I am saying this is that at present we are getting so many cases of people whom we would never expect would deceive somebody, would commit fraud, would commit zina, would go to the gambling den, or would be having in his home all kinds of filthy videos and movies. But their own children are telling us, their wives are complaining, their brothers and sisters are complaining. We don't mention any names, and we don't look down upon anybody. But what we do say is this, that we all have to stop somewhere. Are we going to continue with this until our death? Are we going to give up sins only after our death? And at present, when we are looking what is happening all around, disaster in Turkey, disaster in Taiwan, disaster here, disaster there, everywhere people have gone for a nice good holiday and fun and entertainment and pleasure. And again, that Quranic verse in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. When they were in the midst of their pleasures, we called them to account suddenly, we seized them suddenly. Or that ayat of the Quran where Allah Ta'ala says that did you feel secure against the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala coming upon you whilst you were fast asleep at night? So either the azab will come when the people are fast asleep or when they are enjoying themselves in the midst of their pleasures. So all those preparations that people are making for the millennium celebrations, then we must think very, very carefully that Allah Ta'ala is already giving the warning signs that these places which were fun and pleasure spots, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala just causes a little shake up, just 5 or 6 or 7 points on the Richter scale, and there's nothing left, 12 stories, buildings come down within 45 seconds, then if we are in the midst of pleasures, may Allah ta'ala protect us, in such kind of haram places, and especially where the month of Ramadan is going to be coming to, where is our intelligence, where is our iman, where is our Islam, where is our faith in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where is our lip service love that we always proclaim of His Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, where is our salat and salam that we live or read with great love for Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we are making preparations to go to hell spots, and to go to haram spots, and to go for what? For nothing but the displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So are we challenging Allah ta'ala's might and power? We do not have the strength to go and challenge one lion in the Kruger National Park. If a person says that, just open the door, because I'm quite strong and powerful, and I've even got a gun in my hand, so therefore I don't care for all these lions around here. I want to walk freely. I'm a human being. I'm a free person. I want to be azad. I met one person at the airport some time back in Johannesburg. So I asked him, what's your name? He said, Azad. I said, where are you from? He said, Azadville. And where you stay? He said, Azad Street. So I said, MashaAllah, may Allah Ta'ala make you Azad from the fire of Jahannam also. But we think that we are Azad all the time. We are free. From everything we are free. So if this person says that I want to be a free person, how can you lock me up in the car? And he challenges those lions. Then the lions will make samosa and kebab out of him within a few seconds. So if we cannot challenge the strength of a lion, where are we going to challenge Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's might and power? Brothers, it is stupidity, it is foolishness, it is madness if we try to challenge Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's might and power. Yes, as human beings, we are bound to make mistakes. We are bound to err. We are bound to fault and slip. We are bound to make a mistake, to commit some sin. Something will happen along the line. But then those accidental sins, Allah Ta'ala has kept the doors of Tawbah open. Repent, sincerely turn towards Him. Ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Ask Him for His mercy and kindness. And see what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then gives into the heart of that person. Kabhi ta'ato ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraf qusur hai. Kabhi ta'ato ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraf qusur hai. اے ملک کو جس کی نہیں خبر وہ حضور میرا حضور ہے. He says, what do the angels also know of my closeness to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? But how do I get there to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? I get there by sometimes enjoying the ibadat that I'm making. There's an enjoyment, there's a pleasure that I get in my zikr, in my tilawat, in my namazas, in my fasting, in my hajj, in my umrah, in charities, in generosity and kindness, in my good dealings with my neighbors, with my friends, in my honesty and my truthfulness, in all these things I get an enjoyment. When the person is going to obey for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the immediate reward that Allah ta'ala gives to that person is pleasure in his heart. But it must be for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. A person heard that for 40 days, if he is going to do ibadat, there was a hadith of that, if a person does 40 days ibadat with ikhlas, then Allah ta'ala will cause the fountains of wisdom to flow from his heart, to gush forth from his heart. So this person made ibadat for 40 days, and then nothing happened. So he went and looked for this Maulana and he said, Maulana, you spoke a lie. He said, what lie did I speak? He said, you said in 40 days, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hadith, if a person makes ibadat with ikhlas, then the person will get fountains of wisdom gushing forth from his heart. 40 days I made ibadat, nothing happened. He said, yes, but you forgot what I said, that if the person made that ibadat with ikhlas, meaning sincerely for the pleasure of Allah, what way you made for ikhlas? You made for those fountains. You didn't make with ikhlas. You didn't make for the pleasure of Allah. You were making that ibadat so you get those fountains. So you didn't get it because you didn't do it for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. So brothers, with ikhlas, when the person is going to make ibadat for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will give that person fountains of wisdom in the same way. If the person will do any neki, any good deed, solely for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, then the immediate reward is happiness in the heart. And when the person does sins and displeases Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then the immediate result is a connection with the fire of hell. Restlessness in that person's life. Plenty of wealth too, but very, very restless. I think I mentioned that one woman phoned. She says, Maulana, if you have to look at my house, you will say I'm living in a bungalow, in a palace, in a mansion. Such beautiful home. And I've got everything, gold, silver, cash. There is no shortage of anything. My husband provides the best that I want. But if you have to look at my life, it is as if I'm in a prison. As far as food, clothing, shelter and furniture and everything is concerned, I'm in a palace. But if you look at my life, it is as if I'm in a prison. My husband beats me up. He takes drugs and he's on drink and he's this and he's womanizing and he's doing this and he's doing that. Now whether it was exaggeration and all that is a different story. But what I'm saying is that this is our condition. That when we are going to commit our sins freely and openly and not even feel ashamed of our sins, then this is what will happen. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if you cannot make tahajjud salat, then at least stay away from haram. Stay away from sins during the day. Allah Ta'ala will equate you with those people who are making tahajjud. Today being a public holiday, we will go on for another 5 more minutes. Next thing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, because just this one point, if I carry on, we can carry on till the evening. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if a person cannot fast, nafil fast, optional fast, he cannot keep too much of nafil rozas, then on the day of Qiyamah, you are not going to be questioned that why didn't you fast on the 10th of Muharram, why didn't you fast on this day, on that day, on that day. But if we cannot fast, nafil fast, then at least, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, restrain your tongue from haram. Restrain the tongue from any speech which is haram. Whether it is false oath and qasam, whether it is deception in any form in speech, restrain yourself. If that garment, if that article, if that car, if that home, whatever you are selling, if it has got plenty of defects and weakness, then speaking good about it, encouraging that person to buy, deceiving him with words, is also what we term as haram speech, which is so common today. So common, people are complaining by the hundreds and by the thousands now. Everybody seems to be complaining that I was deceived into buying this. I fell for the speech of this person. His advertisement misled me. The advertisement gave me a completely different picture altogether. So brothers, where is our iman? When we are going to indulge in these things and we want rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, we want forgiveness and mercy of Allah Ta'ala. With deception and with fraud and with all these type of haram, Allah Ta'ala is not going to put happiness in the heart. And akhirat is akhirat. Even in this world, the person suffers so much of humiliation and disgrace. So stay away from sins and be happy. So if this person is misleading by his speech, like the auctioneer, a person was sick and tired of his horse, and he had tried and tested the horse over years, and it was a useless horse. It was not giving him a comfortable ride, and it was always throwing him out. So he took it and gave it to the auctioneer to sell it. When the auctioneer began to praise that horse, that this is the fastest and the speediest horse in the world, and it gives the most comfortable ride, it is as if you are riding in a Cadillac. So the person who went to give it to him, after having tested it and tried it over the years, he said, if it is such a good horse, why should I not take it back home? So although he tried it, he tested it, and he knew what it was like, but he bought it again. He said, no, don't sell it, I'm taking it back. So the words of the auctioneer sometimes are like that. So if we are deceiving the person, knowing fully well, one is we tell the person, look, this is the car, you take it, show it to your mechanic, and if you are happy, then you buy it. It is as is. Then there is no harm. This is the house I am selling, it is as is. You bring your engineers, you bring your contractors, you bring whoever you want, and let them have a good look at it, and after that, if you like it, then you buy it. This is the price. Then there's no harm. But if you are selling it to him, praising it, glorifying it, and giving him all kinds of pictures, beautiful pictures of it, like so many people come here, they advertise the hotel rooms which they are going to be giving in Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. So one of the largest rooms will be shown on the video or in the newspapers. Now the person thinks that all rooms are that size and every room has got that kind of furniture and everything else. Now when they go there, there's only four rooms in the corner like that and all the rest are small 2x2s. Now they have a big fight there. Therefore I say that what happens many a times is that the offer that the agent makes, he says he's giving 5-star offer. But then he speaks 6-star lies. Then the hajis after that give him 7-star swearing. So why go to that extent? Speak the truth. Allah Ta'ala will give us whatever is in our risk, whatever is muqaddar, Allah will give it to us in a halal way. If we seek from Allah Ta'ala halal, He will give us plentiful of halal. And if we want it in a haram way, Allah will give it to us in the haram way, and then He's going to give us plentiful of problems with that haram. I conclude again, what must I do if those examples come again? That until in our heart, haram, we do not look at haram like pigs, we will not be able to claim that we have got good iman. That means even if a person has to offer us $1 billion, he says you will gain $1 billion if you have to do this type of fraudulent dealing. 1 billion. Then at that time in our heart, we must think that this 1 billion is like that man offering us 1 billion pigs. If a person says that I'm giving you 1 billion pigs as a reward, what will we tell that person? We all will read La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah and spit on his face too if we can, because we consider it as filthy. So the money that is coming in a haram way is just as filthy as that pig that we are saying is haram. Then we can say now we have got some iman in our heart. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire Muslim ummah, that love of Allah, that love of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it becomes extremely easy to give up everything that is haram, and extremely easy to do everything that is pleasing to our Rabb. Please your Rabb and see what your Rabb gives you in your heart. We are not prepared to take the first step. We take the first step and see what Allah Ta'ala does. So many young people now, they are writing, they are phoning, and they're saying, Mawlana, such peace and happiness we are enjoying after we gave up the haram in our life. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and the entire ummah the tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.